Moedonia Greek Club Hebrew. Welcome everybody to our weekly gathering. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 21 today, and we're going to actually start in verse 11, so we'll be able to finish this chapter and maybe get into chapter 22. I'm going to hand around a printout of a map that describes David's travels, and you guys can see I've been handing this around every week, but I also got the page I printed it from so you can see more detail that the, there's an outline, a kind of a blue background that'll be very helpful to you, so you'll get a little better detail of where David's going in the book there, alright? So we're going to start with verse 11 of chapter 21. Vayakum David, vayivrach vayom hahu, Mipnei Shaul. So David rose, of course, from Kum, Vayivrach, and he fled Vayom Hahu in that day, Mipnei, from Shaul, from Saul. Okay? Vayavo el Akish Melech Gath. And he came to Akish, that's the king's name, the king of Gath. Okay? And so as I'm passing the map around, you'll be able to see where he went. Kind of quite a distance. You'll see now in the next chapters, he's going to be traveling all over the place, kind of really as a wanderer, kind of a vagabond. All right. Now remember, Gath is an enemy territory, Philistine territory. The Philistines were quite an active force against the Israelites at this time. I mean, we've seen a number of incidences already reading the book of Samuel in which Israel and the Philistines clashed. All right. So here's one of the most interesting little vignettes in the Bible. You guys will all remember as soon as we read it. Vayomru avde akish elav, halo ze David melech haaretz, halo laze ya'anu ba mecholot lemor, hika sha'ul ba alafav, ve David beriv votav. Nice little ditty there. Then the servants of Akish said to him, halo ze. Is not this David, or is this not David, Melech Haaretz, the king of the land? And so they recognize, it's very interesting that they call him the king of the land, see, rather than Saul. So David's reputation amongst his enemies, obviously he was the one that slew Goliath, remember, and he'd been causing trouble. So, yeah, you had your hand up, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed as you were reading it, you kind of raised your voice. It was going to be a question,
interrogative
thing. And when they would read Hebrew, would they have the kind of inflection that we do?
Well, I'm sure they would have different kinds of inflection. I'm totally guessing. Oh. And we're not even pronouncing the letters right, you know. My ancient Hebrew guy would go, what in the heck are you talking about, you know. I think that questions would have a different inflection just like we do in English. We probably don't even recognize it, but we do. Right. So, okay, halo lazet. Is it not lazet about this one that ya'anu, that's from Anna, you know it as to answer, but it also means to sing. Okay, is it not about this one, which they sang, ya'anu, ba mecholot, while dancing, or in dances. Chul remembers to whirl around. Mechula would be a dance. So here's the plural of the noun from that root. All right. So is it not about this one, which they sang in their dances, or while dancing, saying, Hika Shaul, Saul struck Alafav, his thousands. Remember we saw this earlier in Samuel. Hika is a hiphil from Naka. Okay, Saul struck his thousands. Vedavid, but David, Riv Votav, his ten thousands. So notice the little rhyme. Hika Shaul ba'alafav, Vedavid beriv votav. Notice the kind of rhyme there. Alright? So they knew about David and his reputation. Alright? Any questions through verse 12? Alright? It's very interesting how you get this report, you know, so you can kind of just get a taste of the interrelationships amongst the various peoples, and we'll see that again in chapter 22 as well. So, You know, they were cognizant of what was going on. And remember, this was different language groups, but evidently they could understand each other. These were bordering countries, and so the dialects that they were using were probably to a great extent able to be understood. All right, verse 13. Vayasim David et hadevarim ela bilvavo. Now David put et hadevara, these words, bilvavo, in his heart. All right, in other words, he thought carefully about them. All right. Va-yira me'od. Okay, what's the root of yira?
Yara.
Good, yare. You didn't get fooled. It's not ra'a to see, it's yira, and notice that the yud of the root is gone. And you see that, sometimes you'll see it written with the yud in it, and sometimes not. So, he was afraid me'od, greatly. He was really afraid. Mipnei Akish. Afraid of Achish, or because of Achish, king of Gath. Why would he be afraid? Well, here comes this guy with really out any protection, without his army, into enemy territory, who they all knew was this great general who had defeated his 10,000. This is the guy. So he feared for his life once they identified him. Okay, verse 14. Here's the interesting one. Vayeshano et tamo ba'enehem. Alright. Now Vayeshano is from Shana. Shana means, sometimes it means, one meaning of the root is to repeat, but here it means to change. So notice you have a PL from Shana. PL, Vav, consecutive imperfect with third masculine singular suffix. Okay? So Vayesh, he changed it, namely Tamo. His, now, here you notice taste, but it's not that. His demeanor. He changed his personality, is not right. Changed his whole visage, the way he was appearing. See? Okay, in their eyes. Right? Now you'll see what he means in the next line, because notice his va consecutive explains what that means. In other words, so he goes from a more general observation. He changed his demeanor, let's just say for now. Now, that is Vayit Holel Beyadam. This is from Halal, which you know is to praise. Also can mean to boast. And the Hit Pael can also mean to act like a madman. So, see, he changed his Tamo, okay, in case you know what that means. That is, he act crazy. He act insane Beyadam. In their power, in their hand. All right?
Does that tell us anything about how we're supposed to worship?
Yeah, I don't think so. yeah, it just shows David's cleverness or something. I don't know. Okay, now it gets more specific. Notice now, it defines even more specifically. So notice it's using Vav consecutives to narrow down from more general to more specific behavior, and that's very common. So this is not something he did subsequently to acting mad. He's describing what he means. Okay, so va yetav ahal dal tot ha-sha'ar. Okay, here's a rare word. The root is tav vav he, tava. And it means to mark, to make a mark. Most lexicographers suggest it is a denominative of tav, which is a mark for the letter tav. Alright? So it's usually translated, if you follow the Masoretic text, and he marked, scribbled, on the doors of the sha'ar, of the gate, probably the gate of the city. All right? But notice the footnote 14b, if you want a different reading, if you're not really happy with that. There's a number of manuscripts, and also the Koray. Two manuscripts have that different reading. Notice which is the same meaning, but notice what the Septuagint has. Kai timpanidzo. Timpanidzo means to pound. Okay, like a timpani, you pound it. They're suggesting the Hebrew root tafath. Alright, so it'd be yataf. So they're suggesting that you amend that the Septuagint was reading yataf from tafath. Toph means a tambourine. Tafaf means like strike or beat. And so if you follow the Septuagint reading, it's, and he beat upon the doors of the gate. Which, you know, makes a little more sense than scribble, unless he has like a Sharpie in his in his sock, like the football guy, you know, and starts scribbling, I don't know. Okay. So anyway, he either starts scribbling on the doors, writing on them, or pounded on them. Vayored, that's from Yarad, to go down, but here the conjugation is hifil, to cause to go down. And riro, riro is his spit, his saliva, rear. It's only used here. Okay? And he made his saliva go down on zekano, on his beard. Okay, so notice how the syntax goes. He changed his demeanor in their eyes. That is, he acted crazy while it was in their hand. Okay? That is, he marked on the doors of the gate and he made his spit go down on his beard. All right? Pretty interesting. All right, now here's... First of all, any questions about verse 14? Okay, verse 15. Vayomer Akish el Avadav. Then Akish said to his servants, Hine tiru ish mishtageya lama taviu oto elai. He said to his servants, look, you can see that, well, I would just more idiomatic, you can see that he is a man mishtageya. Notice that that's from shaga. Shaga means to be crazy. You guys are all familiar with the word meshuga. Meshuga. He's acting meshuga. You've heard it. And that's from the same root. It's actually like a polel form or pual form. The shaga in the pual means to be crazy. Here's the hitpael. You can see that he is a man who is acting crazy. Or who is nuts. All right? Lama, why are you bringing him a lie to me? All right, so notice they must have captured him, and when they captured him, David had to think fast because they knew they identified him, so he started acting like a crazy guy. All right, so they bring him, and he's doing this. I'm just imagining him walking around like that, and Akish goes, you know, look, this guy's nuts. What did you bring him to me for? Okay, chasar, okay, here's the, notice this is the pu'al form. Chasar meshugaim. Okay? Ani. Here's the funniest line in the whole book, I think. Do I lack crazy people? See, chasar means lack. Or is there a lack of crazy people? Have I, Ani? See? No, I got enough of you guys around. You're all crazy. I can just see Akish's fat king sitting there. You know, you see these movies. You're nuts. You're all nuts. But do I lack them? That you have brought this guy? All right. Let hishtageya, to act crazy or to act insane before me? Hazayavo el beiti. Should this one come to my house? No way. He's not going to invite this guy to supper. All right? It's pretty funny. So you can remember the root shaga just by remembering meshuga. Notice the both the hitpael and the pu'al forms to convey that concept. Yes?
You say base pu'al or base pael?
The shaga occurs in the pu'al and the hitpael. The hit pile, and that's what you see. You kind of see both forms.
Is there a reason why the shin and the ab get mixed around in that?
Either that's called metathesis. You just have a changing when you have that sound. That happens a lot.
Just that sound.
Remember, from Chava Hishtakave. That's the Hishta fail, but you still have that switch.
Right.
All right. There's other words that does that too. Okay. Verse 22. Here he starts his continues his travels. Vayelek David misham, vayimaleit el me'arat adulam. So David went from there, left from there, vayimaleit, and he escaped, simple niflal, which we've seen before, to the cave of Adulam. And again, you can see he's going southeast from Gath. Went to the cave of Adulam. Vayishme'u echav, and his brothers... Vekol Beit Aviv, and his brothers and all the house of his father heard from Shammah. Vayerdu. And they went down Elav to him, Shammah, to there. Alright? So, remember, his brothers and their family lived uncomfortably close to Saul and Gibeah. They lived in Benjamin. And so, hearing now this stuff about David being on the run probably meant their own lives were in danger. And so, they went to this Adullam, probably a place with a small town in which there were a lot of caves. And the place was known for its caves, evidently. And so that's where David was hiding out. Okay? Vayitkavtsu elav kol ish masav v'kol ish asher lo noshev v'kol ish mar nefesh. Okay? Kavats means to gather. And this is a hit pael. So they gathered themselves to him. Kol ish matzok. Every man of matzok, zuk means to be narrow, to be under pressure. So this is the noun matzok, distress. So every person of distress. So you would probably just translate like this: all the distressed came to him or gathered themselves around him. In other words, those who had some kind of difficulty, the oppressed. All right, and every man who to him was, or for him, to him, nosha means to be in debt. So, nasha can mean to deceive, but here it means to be in debt. So, notice people in distress came to him, and everyone who to himself, I would translate this kind of reflexively, for himself was in debt. V'kol, and everyone, mar nefesh, bitter in spirit. Alright, so the discontented. Alright. And he became over them Sar, prince, Lasar. He became a leader, a prince over them. Now remember, these guys became fiercely loyal to him. And they stayed with him. David had this mighty army that would do anything for him. Alright, and we'll see that as we continue in this story. And they were with him about arba me'ot ish, 400 ish men. Again, notice you have the singular with a name like, just like we've seen typical style here, even though it's the 400 obviously is plural. Okay, any questions through verse 2? Yes?
So this is kind of like a ragtag army?
Yes, exactly. And they came to him. And they were actually hiding in those caves probably, and escaping Saul, who was probably now in more explicit pursuit of him. Okay? Good. Now notice where he goes in verse 3. Vayelek David misham mitzpeh Moab. So David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. We no longer know where that is, but if you, those of you guys who have that, the map here, notice how far he went again southeast. Moab, remember, was on the other side of the Jordan River on the east. All right. Now think about it. Why would he go to Moab? Does anyone remember? Remember who his ancestor was? Ruth, who was a Moabitess. So there were family connections. See? Maybe. She's probably dead, but I don't know. But again, we forget the kind of relationships that are in between. So David had Moabite blood in him. All right. So David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, Vayomer, and he said to Melech Moab, this is the king of Moab, please let, notice the na, the particle of politeness, yetze na avi ve'imi, please let my father and my mother go out itkem, with you, ad asher eda, until the time when, or until eda, I know ma ya'aseh li, what God is going to do to me, or with me, or for me. Alright? So again, he was putting them under his protection. So notice how David had these different relationships with people outside of Israel. Okay? Questions about verse 3? So he had to protect his parents, obviously. Will?
There's Asher.
Yeah.
That's not necessary, but here they...
Yeah, I mean, you very often see them occurring together like this, ada share. And I don't know if it's just a dialectic feature or style, but yeah, in other words, we don't need to translate in English.
Right.
You could translate until when I know or until the time that I know, but again, you're still adding to the translation. All right? Verse 4. Vayanchem et pnei melech Moab. So he led them. The root is nacha here, okay? Hiphil. So he led them et pnei before the king of Moab. Vayeshvu, and they stayed from Yashav, they dwelt imo with him, kol yemei heyot David ba metzuda. Okay. And they stayed with him, dwelled with him, remained with him, all the days of David's being. Heyot is what kind of verb form? Infinitive construct from Haya. So it's literally all the days of David's being, but we would say all the days that David was ba metzuda, in the stronghold. Zud means to hunt, to get prey. A matzo, zuda, metzuda is a stronghold or a fortress. We're not sure where it is. This is where, but you can remember the word by just remembering the word masada, because it's that's kind of the transposition of the Hebrew metzuda. The masada is, of course, very famous in Herodian times. Remember, they built the Jews built a strong fortress up there and held out. For a long time. Alright? So, evidently, David left his parents with the king of Moab, and they stayed there. Again, I'm not sure how much time passed, but all the times David was in the Metzuda in the stronghold. So evidently, David held up someplace. Okay? Vayomer Gad. Now here we have another. Remember the prophet Gad? Here it is. Gad Hanavi, the prophet, said to David. All right, now this is the first appearance of Gad. Remember, we've had Samuel before, but evidently now Gad remains with David. And it's very interesting. If you look at 1 Chronicles 29, where it's summing up David's life, Gad was there for David's reign, and evidently he was there when Solomon built the temple and saw it and actually helped with some of the regulations of the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 29, it says that Nathan and Gad and Samuel, I think, had reports of David's reign. So that all the things that happened to David, you know how the chronicler sums up? All the things that happened are reported in the reports of Nathan the prophet, Gad the prophet, and then it lists a couple others. I think it's verse 29. So here's the first mention of Gad, and he is in the background or foreground as the story proceeds. So Gad the prophet said to David, and notice he's functioning here not as this revelation from God, but more as an advisor, close to the king. Some prophets were royal advisors, as you know. Some were very much on the fringes of society and came in to challenge the king. So here we have the court advisor. Gad the prophet said to David, do not teshev, do not stay by Metzuda, in the stronghold. Lake u va'atalaka eretz Yehuda. Leave and go. Notice the lake is from halak, an imperative, followed by a vav plus perfect. Again, we common style. So leave and go for yourself, eretz Yehuda, to the land of Judah. Vayelek David. So David left and he went to Ya'ar Chareth, to the forest of Chareth. And again, we don't know where that is. Alright, so the Metzuda, we're not sure where it is, or this forest, we're not sure what they're talking about. And of course, we don't know why the prophet told him to leave, unless maybe Saul had found out or they were getting worried about it, you know. It's kind of like that new TV show, The Terminator, the Sarah Connor's Chronicles, you know. She can only stay in a place for so long before the people from the future find out, so she's got to leave, and her kid's always bummed and all that. So
it's like that.
So it's like that. Oh, okay. All right? So I'll leave you with that high exalted thought. And we'll continue here at verse 6 of chapter 22 next week.